Good afternoon, and welcome to Our Recourse, a one-hour radio show named in honor of the Immaculate Mother of God, hosted by Brian Gale. As Pope Francis says, Jesus Christ is the mercy of God. And as our beloved church has long taught, His Mother is our ever-faithful recourse to that mercy. So sit back for the next hour and enjoy Our Recourse with Brian Gale.
Hi, welcome to Our Recourse. It is a beautiful Monday, actually. Wonderful afternoon, maybe mid-high 50s. Sun's out. It almost feels like spring. And here it is, the 22nd day of January. We're feeling very, very blessed. We have a good show for you today and a terrific gentleman on the line who has called in. He's a dear friend. And he is the guy that is the engine that drives that wonderful retreat house that we all know and love called the Malvern Retreat House. His name is Michael Norton, and we're going to talk today about what Malvern Retreat House has got scheduled for 2018, Year of Our Lord. Michael, welcome.
Glad to be here, Brian.
Thanks so very, very much. I know you guys have just an incredible history. I think this is maybe the 106th year.
105.
Yep. Over a million guests have come and gone.
We are approaching, Brian, $1.4 million. I wish. $1.4 million retreatants over our 105-year history. We get about 20,000 people a year that go on retreat with us.
Isn't that remarkable? You know, it's very special because I know back in the day, when the faith was a much more robust part of all of our lives, most of those that were coming out there were on men's retreats. But men in and of themselves are not really even the majority of those 20,000, are they?
No, they're not. I mean, Malvern, back when it was just the men of Malvern, there was about 15,000 men a year. And now we have 20,000 total retreatants, but the men make up only about 8,000 of that number. There are other types of retreats that we have there that are just drawing people, men, women, high schools, married couples, you name it. Well, we have a retreat for it.
And they come in on weekends, they come in on weekdays, weeknights, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Yeah, it really is. It's remarkable. What is it about Malvern that keeps people coming back year after year after year? We see three generations of men on the same retreat.
I think, Brian, really, and it's a great question, and I know you've been there, and I think that Malvern Retreat House is more relevant today than it was when we started. Because just think about 105 years ago, these men were taking time out from their busy lives. The businessmen of Philadelphia started this. They were taking a weekend to spend that time with the Lord, to get closer to the Lord. And they were taking time away from their families, but also time away from business and just the distractions of everyday life. Fast forward 105 years, and you can see why people need to come to Malvern, because the distractions are just multiplied exponentially. And so people come out there. It's 125 acres. It truly is sacred ground, right in the middle of Malvern. As soon as you step onto the property, you can feel yourself decompress. But you can't hear anything around you. You can't hear the road noise. And there's just quiet time to walk the Stations of the Cross or visit your favorite shrine, be it Our Lady of Fatima or Our Lady of Guadalupe or the Grotto or maybe the Pietà, and just sit there and just, you know, pull away from the world and just talk to the Lord. And then you have conferences that you go to that help you on your spiritual journey. You have Mass every day. You're there with what's better than being somewhere where you're connecting with the Lord with 250 other men who want the same thing, or women, or whoever you're with. I mean, it just doesn't get any better when you have that everybody wanting to get closer to the Lord.
It's so true. We knights go out there. I've often talked about it on air. We go out every year, the weekend before Thanksgiving. And we've been doing it 35 years, not all of them, about 30, I think, at Malvern, I think. And we look forward so much to seeing each other. In many cases, that's the only time we see each other. And it's as though, you know, we have been together for, you know, continually. I mean, you just share a bond that really is deeper than any other bond you seem to have outside of family.
Exactly. And, you know, we all, you know, we many of us are daily communicants, and we go to church, you know, we go to our Mass and our, on Sunday, and we spend that hour. But when you can spend 42 hours, you know, there's really something special about it. I mean, you know, you spend time in the Adoration Chapel. But as you said, you're seeing guys you might only see once a year. But in reality, you have spent more quality time with that person over the 30 years than many of the people you see almost on a daily basis.
You know, one of the things that really surprised me, and it surprised a lot of our knights, is the amount of younger people who are coming. I'll bet this last retreat, Mike, I'll bet we had 60 people in their 20s and below.
I'm not surprised that you're saying that to me. You know, we're seeing that also. The young adults, you know, we have programs for the high schools for Kairos. And then, as you know, Brian, that age limit, you know, 25 to, let's call it 40, you know, people are working hard. They're busy with young kids. They're, you know, raising families and the like. But we're seeing more and more of them realizing that they need this time with the Lord. And speaking of young folks, I was down in Washington, D.C. on Friday.
Oh, what was that like?
Well, for any of our listeners who are thinking that our young people are not involved, let me tell you, what I saw there was hope. 500,000 people.
Wow.
And so many young, you know, busloads of kids coming in. One busload that I was talking with the kids, you know, bussed in from Columbus, Ohio, you know, a 9-hour ride down, march and then head back. I mean, it was wonderful. So I think there is a lot of hope, and there's a lot of draw for the younger generation to get reconnected with our Lord.
You know, it was just awful to me to know that number you just used was really a very realistic projection. I was told this was the biggest or one of the biggest of the 45-year marches. And yet, not a word of it in any printed paper that I could see, and no word of it on air. And yet, the Women's March that got less than 200,000 people is still the post event stories are still filling the media.
Yeah, I was very displeased. I was you know, for those of our listeners that are in the Philadelphia area, I stopped at Wawa to get my coffee the morning of the march before I got on the bus. And our radio station, the big, you know, news station, KY, I'm thinking, boy, I bet nobody covers this. And all of a sudden, I hear one of the reporters say, today is the March for Life in Washington, D.C. And I thought, wow, this is great. And his next line was, thousands of people attend this. And I'm thinking, thousands?
Wow.
I mean, come on,
wow.
You know?
Wow.
You can't forget about hundreds of, can't you say tens of thousands? I mean, thousands of people makes it sound like there was 1,200 people there.
Yeah. Just and unbelievable.
I'm down on this. I'm standing on the corner of 12th and Constitution, and I'm looking up some of the news things, and somebody is reporting about 45,000 people.
Oh,
and I'm thinking,
wow.
You know, I mean, who was looking? I'm in a sea of people for, you know, as far as the eye can see in both directions. But I thought, this is just terrible. It really is terrible.
Well, you know, I guess if you embrace the fundamental lie that the life in the womb is not a life, then I guess it's a very short, slippery slope or sled to lying about the number of people who would stand up for that life.
No doubt, and I agree fully. But it was just it just really is amazing to me that when you see you know, these young kids standing out there just you know. Really, it reminded me, and, you know, I'm old enough, you know, to remember some of the things that went on in the 60s. But to look at these kids in, for lack of a better word, Brian, a peaceful protest, just really raising their voice against all the lies of the abortion fight. It was just fantastic. And I just, it's like, how can't this not be covered? I just don't understand it. And, of course, you know, we can call out any of the stations that we want, but, you know, they just, they don't care. It's not, it doesn't help them, to really, present the truth on this.
Meanwhile, you have the President of the United States, the first time ever, right, in person, with pro-life people around him in the Rose Garden, actually right, streaming to the half a million people right, out on, Constitution Avenue, talking about how sacred life is and how we have to do everything we can to preserve it.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I was thinking about this. It's about a 3-mile walk, and it's a delightful walk, especially when it's, 50 degrees out,
Right.
But you start with Mass down at the, the National Shrine, and they, and I know you've been there, but for our listeners who haven't, we were from Philadelphia, so there was a Mass specifically for those folks from Philadelphia. Hmm. And then I guess they had another Mass from whatever cities, that people had come from. And it's a wonderful Mass. Archbishop Chaput said the Mass, and then I believe it was the Archbishop of Rochester, and I forget his name, did the homily, and it was fantastic.
Wow.
I mean, you just walk out of that Mass, ready to run down Constitution Avenue. And to see all these people that it's just really, really amazing to see that and to feel the love and to see. But the other thing is, as I was walking down Constitution Avenue, I'm thinking, this isn't even, it certainly is because of our religious beliefs. It certainly is a religious issue. But, Brian, it's not even, it's a human issue.
That's right.
How can you not think that child is alive?
That's right.
I just, it defies science. So, I don't want to get political, but I just let you know that, there is a lot of hope because the young people were there and they were just, first of all, very well behaved. You didn't hear any cursing or any of that from our side. From the other side, they're not quite as classy as we are.
Sounds like the Bonner buses didn't make it down.
Well, we sent them somewhere else.
I subsidized one of those. I hope those bad boys made it.
They did. We actually saw them, and they were very proud and very loud.
I don't doubt that.
We saw the prep. We saw Malvern Prep. We saw Bonner Prendy, Shanahan. I mean, most of our Catholic high schools in the area were there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It really is. We've talked about this on air, but, in an apolitical way, I have to say, we got a reprieve. I think millions of pro-life people fell to their knees last year during the election season and begged God if we could just be given one last chance.
Right.
And
right,
I think he heard the prayers of all those wonderful, and I'll bet, like, to your point, Mike, I'll bet a lot of them were kids.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
It is frightening to think about how dark this would have gotten and how quickly it would have gotten dark. Really pitch black. Had this guy, with all his flaws, not won.
Yeah, well, there wouldn't have been any more fight.
I think that's right.
Yeah, whether you love him, like him, or not, you have to give him the respect that he stood up to all these folks, and he said, what is true, and you can't argue with that. And I think he really has helped to re-energize the movement. And it was just interesting to me that he spoke, and there were not as many protesters as there were in prior years.
How about that?
And I think that, that him going to speak and his stance on there, I think that, they were just like, it's kind of tough to outshout the president.
And at root, I think this is the heart of the rage against him and against that administration. Yes, of course, there's many inflammatory things that he says and all the rest of that, all the rest of it.
Right.
But at the heart of it is this rage the big lie is being rejected and it's being exposed for what it is at the very top of the U.S. government.
Well, exactly, and I think, Brian, here's a guy that calls out the news, that many people have been calling out for years, but he calls it out because he's got the biggest bully pulpit you can have. Yeah. So when you're standing down in the middle of Constitution Avenue and you hear them reporting 45,000 people,
yeah,
and you're looking in both directions knowing that it's closer to 450 to 500,000 people, you know, light bulbs start to go off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you can't even report on the number of people, you know.
What an education it is, Mike, for our younger people who probably are not that familiar with the big lie in the media, to go down to see what you saw and to come back and hear nothing, and then to hear that little blip of an estimate.
Right.
You know, it really, I'll bet, shocks many of them to understand that grown-ups, particularly in the media, do not tell truth.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think, you know, there's only, you know, and you and I have talked about it many times, there is only the truth. You know, there's the boundaries of truth. And everything on the outside of the boundaries of truth is just a story. So you can cut it up any way you want, and they can say 45,000, whatever they want. I was there. And I still have, you know, I still see very well, and I can count pretty well. I was there. So, you know.
Well, you know, Mike, it's very interesting. No, the connection does not seem to be made anywhere by anyone as to abortion and immigration. I mean, we've lost 60 million souls, and somewhere between 10 and 20 million have poured across the border to do work that those souls we lost would have happily done and productively done. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence, we now have a social crisis and a political crisis and stagnation in the government.
Well, there's just you and I and probably most of the listeners, you know, we believe that there are certain laws and certain rules that govern this country, and they need to be followed. And I will bet you there's not a listener that's listening to here in the vast audience that you have that would say, if a person comes to the United States legally, I don't have a problem. You know?
Yeah, right.
They come in, they do what has to be done according to our laws. No one has a problem. We welcome these folks. But when you got people coming across here illegally, I mean, I just took a survey online yesterday. It was about the immigration and just our government in general. And it's just amazing some of the questions, like, you know, people should be able to come over here and then get, you know, our health care and you know, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, come on. I mean, yeah, if you're coming in legally, fine, but you shouldn't just be able to open the door. I think Dennis Miller said it, but I don't mind people coming over, but can you please sign the book on the way in?
It's pretty good. Well, either we're a nation of laws or we're not.
Well, that's it.
And if this is the will of the people, then the elected representatives should change the laws so that this can happen. And I guess that's what the struggle is. They're trying to change the laws, the Democrats are. And if they can get enough people in the country to support them, I'm not sure how they're doing. Then I guess they could legalize and maybe even citizenize the 10 to 20 million and have them voting. And I, you know, not to be cynical, but that is it seems to be what the general consensus is, that, you know, the Democrats have lost, the white working class vote that they had for generations.
Right.
Because they abandon them with this global push and all the jobs overseas and everything else. And they need these votes, and therefore we got to get them in at all costs.
Exactly, but it just amazes me these folks are saying, these folks are here illegally, but we should give them the right to vote. And I'm like, wait a minute. No, they shouldn't have the right to vote. They're here illegally. Now, I understand you want to give them the right to vote, because if you give them the right to vote, they're going to vote for you, because you're giving them back, you know, all kinds of handouts and stuff. So it's just, you know, it's again, it's just the I always try to apply logic. I know you do, your listeners do, and some of these things just defy logic. We have to keep fighting. And just back to the issue of this past March, and then back to the issue of the retreat. I mean, we have to come out to I invite you to come out to Malvern Retreat House, take a rest, and get recharged, because it is a constant fight every day, and you have to get recharged and re-energized by the Lord.
You know, with the technology of the iPhone and iPad and all the rest of this social media stuff, Facebook and all of it, YouTube, I don't have the data that suggests how many hours a day adults are weaned onto or grafted onto that thing within their ear versus the kids. But I would think the consumption of that noise in and of itself has to make prayer very, very difficult at home.
Well, I think it makes it very difficult at home. I think it makes it difficult any place where you are. I just think that, have you tried, Brian, and I'm sure you have, when you pray, you settle yourself and you try to, try to get silent. That gets harder, certainly for me, almost every day, because there is so much traffic going on.
Right.
And it's amazing that, our children now, that people, we complain about the 8-second soundbite. Our kids, that's all they can handle is an 8-second soundbite.
Right.
So how do you pray for 8 seconds? I can't bless myself in 8 seconds. So it's just, it really is. It's technology. There's so many things that are going on, and that's why we just need these timeouts to get away from it all.
Apparently, all the saints agree that God is found in the silence.
Mm-hmm.
And if the silence doesn't exist in your mind, whether you're at home in a closed, darkened room or any place else, even in a church, if silence isn't there, prayer is next to impossible.
No doubt. And I think one of the gentlemen that was on retreat was saying to the guys, because they were, they were a little bit more rowdy than they should be. And he said, gentlemen, if you can't find, you're telling me you can't find God in silence, how are you going to find him within all the noise? The only way you can find him is to really sit down. And it's hard. It takes practice. It's like anything else. It does take practice. That's why, you have to pray daily, because it does take practice to learn how to settle your mind, to filter things out. And some days it's easier than others.
That wonderful young man, Devin Schott, wrote the wonderful book, Call to Fatherly Greatness. And in
right.
it,
yep.
In that series, he makes the important point. He said, you got to set up a tent of covenant, a tent of meeting, where you can meet the Lord and the Holy Spirit in your home. And in that silence, you will come to understand what it is you are called to do. And everything and anything that you are called to do will involve a test. And it is only fidelity with the Lord's help, grace, making all things possible, that you have a chance of passing the test, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, you get the reward for that, which is the cross. And
yeah.
the cross,
yeah.
you carrying your cross, whatever it is ultimately the means by which a man becomes great.
Yep, no doubt. And Devin, we had him at Malvern, and he was absolutely mesmerizing. I mean, such a sweet, gentle man who speaks, wonderfully, soft, mellow. But he hits you right between the eyes with a bat,
Well, he gives evidence of a very deep prayer life, and
right.
that what he's saying
right.
is exactly, what it is he experienced. And it is really, ultimately, the value proposition, if I could put it in secular terms, of Malvern.
Yep, exactly. When you talk about someone like Devin, and you talk about some of the other gifted speakers that we have, access to, people see Devin and they think, okay, he wrote the book. You listen to him speak, and then he tells you about his own situation. there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot going on. And you think, wow, if he can do it, I mean, I can do it. And Devin gives, you know, lays it out. But the one thing that we have to do, certainly as men, and anybody who wants to get deeper into a prayer life, I think you have to have set the boundaries up at home with your family. And I'll give you an example. My brother gets up every morning, gets his coffee, goes and sits down, and he has about a half hour to an hour, depending on how it's going, of quiet time where he's reading the scriptures and he's praying and he's, and his family knows, don't bother him. This is his time. You know, short of the house being on fire, everybody's quiet. And I think we have to set those boundaries and let our families know, I need this time. It's going to help us be a better father, better man, better whatever, better mother, whatever it is. But you have to take the time. And that's the whole basis of the Malvern Retreat House. You have to take the time. Even Bill Wright and Dr. Bob, who started the AA program, have in there that men and women who are in the AA program should go on retreat on an annual basis. That's how important that
they
see it.
That's in the big book, huh?
It is in the big book, yes. Yep.
It says that even daily prayer isn't quite enough. You know, you really do need to retreat from the world and find, quiet time. 40 hours of quiet time. I mean, that is the time to pray.
Right.
And, you know, as we've discussed in the past, if you find time to pray, particularly in a setting like that, you really put yourself in position for a personal encounter with this Holy Spirit.
And we have, Brian, I have volumes of testimonies from men, women, children, anybody on retreat talking about the life-changing experience that they had at Malvern. And as some of the most beautiful things that are just written down by these folks who have come there. And in that quiet time, just the Lord just came to them. One gentleman, his name is George, he came to Malvern. He had he and his wife were going to have a child that was going to be born with special need. And he was, back and forth fighting that battle. You know, the doctor saying to him, you really should abort this child because of all the challenges and everything. He came down to Malvern. He spent a weekend and he decided that wasn't what they wanted to do. They have this daughter now. She's probably about 25. And she has some significant challenges, but just a beautiful child. And Malvern changed his life so much, he went on to write a book about it.
Wow.
And he's helping other folks, with that problem. So it's just, it's amazing.
Well, I think you said used the right word there, Mike. If you make time to pray and you put yourself in a position to have a personal encounter, as you're saying, then transformation, that's the beginning of transformation. And transformation carries with it just the grace to allow man to be everything he was created to be. And all of us want to be better than we are. Every one of us.
Yep. Yep. We surely do. And I'm just looking at every year we do a retreat for formerly homeless men who are now transitioning back into what we call, quote, normal society.
Yeah.
And the men come out for retreat. And this past year, Brian, there was a gentleman there, African-American gentleman. And at the end of the retreat, we share, what did you get out of the retreat? And this older guy, gray hair, gray beard, he said, I go to church every weekend, and he said, I've never heard the voice of God, and I pray that I would always hear the voice of God. And people at my church, they say they've heard the voice of God, and I've never heard, and I've always wanted to hear it. He said, I was sitting outside on a bench in this quiet time, and I'm asking God why I can't hear him. And he said, God answered me, and God said, because you're listening with your head, not your heart.
Oh, that's beautiful, Michael. Hold right there.
Yeah.
We're going to break for a commercial.
Okay.
I want to come back and hear more about that man. That's a great, and all the great things you have in store for all the people in this diocese and beyond in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Harry, let's go and talk about, let our audience hear about In His Sign.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Okay, we're back with our good friend Mike Norton, who is de facto the COO, the Chief Operating Officer of Malvern. His title is Vice President Marketing and Development, but that's a big part of that great and heralded house. And there's not much that goes on out there that doesn't pass through his desk. I know that firsthand. Michael, thanks for joining us today, and thanks for sticking with us.
My pleasure, Brian. Happy to do it.
We were talking about that homeless man who heard our Lord speak to him in the great silence about the necessity, and speaking to all of us through this man, of listening with the heart, not the head.
Yep. Yeah, and it's just an amazing thing that's really, when you think about it, that's what the Lord is telling us to do. And, you know, I think the evil one the devil has an easy time getting into our head, but we fight that. I think he has a tougher time getting into our heart, because that's where the Lord, that's where Jesus lives.
How about that? That's an interesting point. Mike, I know you've got a great agenda coming up in this year, 2018. Why don't you tell our listeners about what's going to go on up there?
You know, Brian, first of all, I have, in order to do that, I have to give a shout out, if you don't mind, to our dear friend, you know her, I know her, Anne McGlone, who came back and joined the Malvern team and is just working tirelessly to just bring featured speakers to the Malvern Retreat House. So as I look, you know, we're going to have our charismatic retreat again with Father James Blunt and Sister Ann Shields, and that's at the end of June, beginning of July, and I'm trying to find it, but my website's not working right here. So we have your dear friend and ours, Kathleen McCarthy, coming out and just working with people. We have Father Larry Richards. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Oh yeah,
Buffalo and Erie.
Dynamic.
And I mean, you know, it's interesting. We've been talking about getting Father Richards for I don't know how long. But, you know, Ann. I mean, Ann just said, okay, you want him, I'll get him. She's like a bulldog. And she, you know, he's only doing one retreat this year other than his normal schedule, and it's going to be at the Malvern Retreat House. And I'm going to find that date.
About that.
But here I am with my...
You talk about a charism for young people. That guy, even as he gets a little bit older, and he's a young priest, relatively speaking, his connection grows stronger with young people, particularly high school kids.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, when we mention it to people, there's certainly the young. We were up in Allentown at the Allentown Archdiocese. They have their Men's Spirituality Conference, and we mentioned it. And everybody, you're having Father Larry Richards? You're having Father Larry Richards? You know, Ann and I started getting a little concerned, thinking, oh, boy, I hope we have enough space. But again, you know, on your weekend, if you don't mind me saying, I mean, Cardinal Burke's coming in. I mean, yeah. You know, there's another one where we're thinking, good Lord, we're going to put a, you know, we're going to have to put an addition on the place. So we're getting these type of speakers that want to come out because they know just how wonderful to get just how wonderful the people are who come to Malvern. Of course, our dear friend Jeanette Bankovic from EWTN, you know, she has Women of Grace. Mm-hmm. She's in July, and we
terrific.
Have Damon Owen. I mean, the list just goes. I tell our folks, listeners, go to malvernretreat.com and just, you know, look at our website, and you'll be able to find all of these wonderful programs that we have. But I think, Brian, one of the things that I wanted to hold out until last was we're having a tent revival.
Wow. Hey, wow. The we're Bible having... Belt comes to Philly, huh?
Absolutely. And that is Sunday, October 7th. And we were just talking about it, and you've been there. We've got this big, grassy, beautiful field with a hill on it, and our friends from Abbey Fest were over having one of their meetings, and they looked out there and they said, "My gosh, that field looks like it holds about 10,000 people." And you know, we had already been in plans to do a tent revival where it's going to be like a Billy Graham style, if you will, and God loving. Wow. You know, we're going to have some very dynamic. Let me tell you how everybody that we have spoken to about this, Brian. You know, we mentioned it to Father Jim Blunt, and if your audience doesn't know Father Jim Blunt, look him up, Blount. The man is amazing. I got to spend a day with him. You know, I was his Uber driver. It was absolutely this man is a living saint. We mentioned it to Father, and all of a sudden he gets the anointing and says, "I see it. I see thousands of people on this field."
Wow.
2 days later, we're at a Legatus meeting, and we see Jeanette Bankovic, and we start to explain it to Jeanette, and she stops Mark Poletno, our president, and me, and she says, "When is it?" And we gave her the date. She said, "I'll be there."
Wow.
We said, "Don't you want to check your calendar?" She said, "I'll change whatever it is." She changed her calendar to be there.
Isn't that something?
There's a former mixed martial arts heavyweight champion, a gentleman named Boss Rutten. And he is on fire for the Lord. He's just started speaking. He's on that show, Kevin Can Wait, with Kevin James. And if your audience isn't aware of that show, Kevin James is a very, very strong, faithful Catholic. And if you watch his show, in several of the rooms, you'll see a crucifix on the wall. He makes them put the crucifix on the walls so that, you know, the audience can see that. But Boss Rutten said, "I'll be there." This guy was a warrior. And now he's a warrior for Christ. Marty Vitello is going to be there. Everybody that we talk to says, "I want to be there." I said, "Well, wait a minute. You know, we only have so many hours." But it's going to be, as I like to say, off the chain. I'm expecting well over 1,000 people. And, you know, we're just trying to grow this thing. Our goal is to build this up so big that we have to go down to Lincoln Financial Center that holds 70,000 people.
You know, this sounds like an Ann McGlone special. She is... She is remarkable. What a terrific, terrific lady, a great marketing professional, and a woman of indomitable faith.
She really is. And let me tell you that I'm getting texts from her right now. Mention this. Mention, you know, Ann. Here she is. God love her.
Hello, Ann. We're praying for you. I ask all our listeners to pray for Ann that she gets over this last leg of pneumonia. That's not a fun thing to have, you know?
No, it's not. And she is a trooper. And, you know, God bless her. She is, as you know, Brian, she is a blessing to work with. I mean, I am so blessed to be working with her. I'm so blessed to be working with you when you come out to the retreat house. It's just so nice to work with folks that have the same values and are all looking in the same direction. You know, there's only one way to look. You know, you can look for fulfillment anywhere you want, but if you're not looking at the Lord, you can forget about being fulfilled. That's just, you know, how I feel.
Well, that's
you're
the
working
length and
for
short
the Lord. You're doing the right thing.
Mike, when is this tent revival that you and Ann are putting together?
It is October 7th. It's a Sunday.
Oh, Feast of Lady of the Rosary.
Yep. And it's, you know, there's a, you know, it says the tent revival, teaching, preaching, prayer, music, and celebration.
Will it be a full day or part of a day or what?
It'll be the better part of the day. Yeah. Yeah.
And do you have another retreat or two that weekend?
We have a retreat that weekend. The tent will be out on, as I said, for lack of a better term, our big grassy knoll. And the tent will be set up all week. So we already have folks from Casting Nets, I believe, who are coming to Malvern this summer that are interested in saying, well, geez, if the tent's there, you know, we'll put an event on. We've got other folks that know about it that are saying, well, hey, we'll put our event on there. If you're on Sunday, let's back it up. We'll do Saturday. We'll do Friday. We'll do Thursday. So, you know, we're hoping to have a whole week of various celebrations out there.
Really? So this is not a one-day affair?
Well, it started with us, Brian, as a one-day affair. We thought we'd have a tent revival. And then people start talking about it. Our good friend Marty Vitella, who's, you know, with Spirit Power, and yeah, Marty's doing his music and out just, you know, reaching people everywhere. He's out in Albuquerque or Santa Fe on the streets helping the needy, just, you know, doing concerts and bringing people to the Lord. A woman calls us from out in California and says, hey, I heard you're doing this tent revival. We want to do one out here. Can you help us do one out here? So it's already taken on a national presence. And, you know, Ann and I are just you know, looking at that. We've got some folks that are on the committee. They're talking about whenever we talk, you know, our dear friend Rocco Martino, he said,
yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah.
Anybody that we have spoken to, how can I help? Let's get it done. Because they know it's going to attract people across the board, especially our young people.
Well, it is likely to get a huge blessing because of the day alone that you selected. I mean, to have it on a Marian feast day, particularly the Rosary, one of the two great pillars along with the Eucharist of our faith, I don't know how you could go wrong.
Well, and you know, I mean, it's a huge undertaking. But you know, Brian, you've taken on huge undertakings. Your audience has a lot of prayer and a lot of people chipping in. And we'll make it happen. And this is going to be an annual thing for us. And, you know, we just want to get as many people as we possibly can to come out to this. And then, you know, we've already had Ann setting up, like, the enthronement of the National Shrine or of Mary. You know, she's got so many things going on that I can't even really, and I know Ann's on your station. You should have Ann as a guest sometime to just really fill you in on all this. You know, I'm raising the money. Ann's doing the marketing.
Well, that's a pretty good combination. You have wonderful, wonderful people out there.
Right. And let me just say one last thing about this tent revival that I think is just going to really blow the minds of your listeners. No charge.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No charge.
Wow, that means that Jim Fitzsimmons really isn't involved anymore.
Yeah, well, you know,
Sorry, Jim, if you're listening. I couldn't resist that.
No, you got to. And he would laugh himself. You know that. But,
well,
we thought, you know, we'll make a free will offering. We'll take a collection. But anybody, no matter what your circumstance is, you are welcome. I don't know, Brian, if you're aware of our new campaign, but when you drive on to our property now, our slogan is, come as you are, all are welcome. Doesn't matter where you are on your journey, how beat up you are, how wounded you are, you come as you are to the Malvern Retreat House because we have something for you. As a matter of fact, Marty Rotella wrote a theme song. We have a theme song, if you can believe it.
Really?
Yeah, called Come As You Are.
That terrific?
Yeah, yeah, and that's what we're trying to do. And this is what we have to do across the board in our parishes and everything to say, you know, folks, our church welcomes everybody. Doesn't matter where you are in that journey. Wounded, you know, feeling, whatever. All are welcome. And when you drive on to Malvern's property, there's a sign now that says, come as you are, you are welcome here.
I love it. Yeah, well, it is an extraordinarily welcoming place. And that probably is the secret. You feel, as you said, when you pass through the gate, that this is different somehow.
Yeah.
I'm dying to ask you.
Go ahead.
You have so much going up there, and I wonder, How can we get more people to go there and sample what it is that you have to offer?
That's again the $64,000 question. One of the biggest frustration that I have, and I'm sure, you know, you being close to Malvern, here we are, 125 acres in the middle of Malvern, Pennsylvania, which is what, 30 miles outside of Philadelphia.
Yes.
I mean, there's a major train line that goes past it, and people still say, "I never heard of it." I said, "How can you have 1.3 million come through this place, 20,000 a year, and people say they haven't heard of it?" And so, you know, we're working on awareness, and we're working on when people think of Malvern, what do they think of? And we're trying to find the best way to get out there. It's certainly word of mouth, but that's part of this tent revival. That's part of going out. I don't know if you're aware, Brian, that people aren't coming to us, so we're going to them. I don't know if you're aware that we just started a program called Retreats to Go. If you can't come to us, we'll go to you.
Wow.
And
tell us about that.
And,
that's
it's taken off like it's like lightning in a bottle. We went down to the Archdiocese and met with Ed Liss and Jim Amato, talking to them about, listen, we'll come to you. You want to have a 3-hour retreat? We'll do that. Well, they want to have that type of retreat for their employees. They want to have that type of retreat for all of the, St. John's Hospice, all the places, you know, the homes that, yeah. that the homeless people are living in.
Ministries.
You speak to Al Tegler, who's a insurance agency. Hey, I want you to come here. We'll come to your company. We'll come to your school. We have people that are just, you know, calling saying, I want you to come here. I love the idea. And we'll go there. And it's, you know, no matter where you are, we will set it up. And our lineup, we certainly have Marty Rotella. I don't know, our friend Jennifer Hubbard, who was the mother who lost a child in the Sandy Hook shooting a couple of years ago.
Yes, I've heard of her.
And Brian, we have had Jennifer at the retreat house. And people see that she lost a child in Sandy Hook, and they think, oh, this is going to be too heavy. It is the most joy-filled retreat that I've seen. She talks about forgiveness. You walk out of there 10 feet off the ground.
Wow.
Because she really grasps the mercy and forgiveness of the Lord. It's just, it's fantastic. Gary Zimek was talking about, you know, don't worry. Damon Owens, Sue Brinkman, who will be talking about, a lot of people who are into yoga and meditation and how that's really not falling in with our, you know, with our beliefs. We'll take it, we like to say we're taking it to the street. We're opening Malvern's gates out, and we're going out there. So we're going to get that word out there.
Do you have any bookings yet, or is it just way too early?
Oh, no. We have bookings. We've got about, I think that we have about 10 bookings right now.
Wow. That's incredible.
Between high schools and parishes, the one nut that I want to crack is the corporate world. And that's a little bit tougher, but I am convinced, and it took some convincing on my part, but one of the gentlemen said to me, Nort, you can go to a corporation. I know that, a lot of them don't want to, they can't make people go to this, but if you do it at lunchtime and people want to come, they should be able to offer that. So we're reaching out to some of the businesses in Philadelphia to see if we can come down there and do this.
How do you price it, Mike, in a way that it allows the ministry to continue?
Well, if it's a corporate deal, we try to say, because, lunch is involved, in it, $25 a head. If it's a parish, we like to say, they can either take a free will offering, or in some cases, our friend Monsignor Chifo, we were there, and he said, "Look, Nort," he said, $500. Hey, that's great. You know what? We can pay the speaker, mm-hmm. and Malvern can make a little bit money. We're not interested in breaking the bank on this. What we're interested in is bringing the word of Christ, to everybody, no matter where they are. And if we go to a high school, it might be the same thing because they have speakers come in. What's it cost? So, if we make a little money to cover gas, that's great. But our main thing is to get out there, to give people a taste of what this retreat is. 3 hours to say, if you want more, come in for 42 hours.
Yeah, that's a terrific idea. That model, it's 105 years old, and I'm amazed at the durability of it. the longevity of it is just astonishing. And yet today's world is different, isn't it? I mean, very much so in terms of time and distraction.
Yeah, and it's amazing, again, just, you know, the people that we have locally. I mean, we are so blessed to have some of these. Kathleen McCarthy is part of this team, and I know you know Kathleen. Kathleen will go out. I mean, she is just like these others. She's just a gift.
No, nobody like her.
She's an amazing, amazing woman of God. Matter of fact, you know, we have the retreat coming up for the businessmen, and Kathleen's going to lead that retreat because her message is so strong about healing and how do you carry your faith into business, and you know, she's just, you know, again, she's captivating, as all these speakers just have their story to tell, and you can't help but be captivated by it.
Well, yeah, she's not simply a local town.
No, I know.
Or even regional, or, if I can say it, not even national. I mean, her popularity and her ministry carries abroad. She's really international in scope, although she's very, very active here in the Philadelphia area.
Right, and my point was just that she lives here.
She lives here, yeah.
So we have access to her a little bit easier than if we had to fly her in from California.
Yeah, well, the Lord does powerful work through this woman, the great woman, and this network is proof of that. She's really borne this thing on her back for 25 years.
Yeah, you know, again, just an amazing woman. I mean, we had her speak, Brian, at... we give out the St. Joseph the Worker Award to folks who really live their Catholic faith within our community, and we gave it to Kathleen, and she's up there talking, and you know, what is it, 12 children, her husband passed away very young, she was literally living at a convent, but you know, kept her faith strong and built this up, raised 12 children, because like a 46 grand, I mean, the numbers just go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And you meet this little dynamo, and you just, you know, you just want to hug her.
Faith.
You know?
Jeanette Bangovic talks about women of faith. This is the woman of faith in our area, huh?
No doubt.
And Ann McGlone. And boy, we have a few of them here in this diocese, don't we?
We really do. And we have some younger folks. I don't know if you're familiar with Megan Coakley down at the
I've heard the name,
diocese.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah.
I don't know her, but I've heard of her.
If you ever had the chance to get her on, Brian, she is unbelievable. And a young woman, you know, I know that she's at most in her early 30s. And she is just on fire, bright. You know, we had her come in. She helps put together the Women's Spirituality Conference. And, of course, it's very well organized because the women are organizing it. So we had her come in to talk to the Man Up Philly committee.
Yeah.
And she walks in, and there's 12 of us sitting there, and she says, first thing out of her mouth, she goes, well, let me just say this. There's too many of you on this committee.
Wow.
She said, you need 3 decision makers. The rest of you are worker bees.
She wasn't looking at you when she said that, was she, Mike?
Well, she was certainly looking at me.
I hope she didn't point.
But, I mean, just the things that she's and she's open to partnering with folks. She's partnering with us on Casting Nets that's coming here to talk about their ministry of getting people for evangelization and casting the net out wider. You know, so there are just so many wonderful things that are going on, and young people getting involved, and just, you know, it's time. Part of my frustration has always been, and my wife said this to me one time, and you know, my wife is not Catholic, although I'm working on her. She's like, how come you guys never talk about the church never talks about all the positive things you do? She said, nobody ever says
That's the truth of it.
Wonderful things that Catholic Social Services does, and all the hospitals and colleges and all these wonderful things. She said, I never hear anything about that.
You know, she's absolutely right.
Well,
that's the purpose of networks like this and shows like this, to bring people. Yeah. You know, John Paul II once famously said he said, I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is more alive than ever before in humankind, precisely because the other spirit is more alive than ever before in humankind. Mm-hmm. A man of hope who obviously did not think the God that he knew and loved would allow his primordial creature and the apex of his creation to be abandoned to the evil one.
Right.
So you see so many wonderful ministries and people rising up. I mean, it really is it's an extraordinary time in the church, isn't it?
I think it really is. I think that we are seeing, you know, the pendulum always swings, you know, too far one way, too far the other. But I think it's swinging back in our direction. I think that the young folks are looking up and they're realizing that, you know, life with God is much better than life without God. You know, I think that they're realizing that, you know, the evil one is out there, and if we're going to fight this evil one, we have to arm up. And
well, it's like that old song. Remember Peggy Lee? Is that all there is? And I think
don't sing it to me, Brian.
Well, I'll spare everybody that. But I think every one of us, whether we're young or aging, we get to a point in life where we realize that nothing seems to sate. Nothing satisfies as you thought it would. Not money,
no.
not some degree of notoriety, not possessions, not yep. success or achievement. And, you know, it's all nice, but nothing quite endures, does it?
No, and I think a friend of mine was saying this the other day. We were talking about this, about, you know, how the evil one seems to be really raising his head right now. And my friend said to me, you know, because he's running out of tricks. You know,
he can't
trick us with money. He can't trick us with fame. He can't trick us with, you know, whatever it is. So now he's attacking the Achilles heel of various places. But he's running out of tricks, and we're holding strong and pushing him back. And he's redoubling his efforts. And so where do you attack? You attack it, you know, again, as I said, the heart of the matter. You try to, you know, he can get into your head, but, you know, he can't get into the hearts. As long as Jesus is in your heart, there is no room for the devil to get in there.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, Mike. And so many of the people that go out to Malvern discover that. They walk out, drive out with that in their heart, and they return. And they return with people. You know, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, we had maybe 64 people, something like that.
Right.
Last year, we had to cut it off at about 400 two or three weeks prior. Only 303 beds. So people are telling people about it, about what they're experiencing at Malvern, and they're bringing people.
And they are people, especially, I think, those of us that are Catholic, so many people are starving for the Word. They've tried to feed themselves with something else, and it just doesn't fill them, and they are starving. And when they get a taste of it, game over.
Well put. Michael, always great to have you. You make the time go so fast. I'm so happy to hear all of the wonderful things you and Ann are doing, and Mark Palantano settling in out there and finding, getting his legs under him and keeping that whole thing humming, all of you, huh?
Yep. Yeah, Mark is doing a wonderful job, and he brings a great spirit to it. And he's put together a team. It took a little while, but he's put together his team. And, you know, I feel like the Eagles right now. We've got the team that's just going to get it done.
Well, you do have remarkable people out there. Every time I'm out there, every single one of them has that very special service orientation in their heart. I mean, they are there for the right reason, and they make you aware of that and feel that upon instant contact.
Yes. Yep. As it should be.
So, Mike, we're going to ask all of our listeners, there may only be three, but it, depending upon whether my wife listens, and she doesn't listen that much, I have to be honest. But we're going to ask all three of them to please remember you good folks and that wonderful ministry out at Malvern in 2018 in their prayers. Special prayers for Annie to recover fully. Special prayers on all the wonderful priests that go out there and give their time and lead men in retreat. All the wonderful leaders and captains, men and women, children, all of them that lead souls out there to be recharged. A spectacular place, a gift to this diocese and well beyond. And we're just really privileged to have you today. And we just wish you the best, Michael, in the new year.
Thank you, Brian. God bless.
All right, we're over and out.